So if you're taking notes, this is part one of two messages we're going to be doing. Andrew's going to be doing the next one next week. And it's called Fresh. And my title is Fresh Breath of God. Fresh Breath of God. So recently I was at home parking the car after a long day of work, and I just kind of exclaimed, Lord, my body is in so much pain and I am so tired. And I heard the Lord say, yes, my body is in so much pain and my body is tired. And I thought, hold up, Lord, I thought we're talking about me here. But I heard it again, that his body, the church, is in so much pain and it's so tired. The people of God are in pain and they're tired. And you know, my pain and tiredness, or mainly my pain, has usually been because of some mystery illness or some unexplainable fall. So in the last 6 weeks, I've struggled a bit with my hip because I decided I was going to help out one of my children and just carry a washing basket full of clothes. It was very heavy. And so one minute I was holding this washing basket, the next minute I was looking at the ceiling, lying flat on my back. And as I lay there, not able to move, I thought, okay, this is an opportunity to think. So I lay there and started reflecting on all the falls I had had over the years. The earliest being when I was 10 years old and I was on my way to school with a group of other people. We walked past this puddle of mud and somehow I managed to fall into that. And then when I was 11 years old, there was water spilled in the house somewhere and I was running. And of course, you know what happened. I slipped. And then in my late teens, I was in Adelaide and I was just finished college, end of the day. I was running for the bus. So one minute I was running for the bus, next minute this group of people were running towards me, strangers, to help me because I had fallen. I don't know what happened. Now, we just had baptisms in Fremantle and that was just wonderful. Speaking of baptisms, one of my falls happened at a baptism in Port Hedland some years back. The interesting thing about this fall was that there was somebody who was a client just from my professional work. For some reason, they ended up coming to our church. And so they wanted to get baptized. So they were one of the people getting baptized that day. I don't know what happened, but I fell at the baptism. And of all the people who came to my rescue, it was this client. Obviously, I'm the only one who knew who he was, but he came rushing. Of course, it was embarrassing, right? But also very touching, you know. And then I fell when I hit my knee on a tow bar. Is that what it's called? Tow bar? Yep, on one of them. On my way to a prayer meeting. I hit it and I fell on my back on the concrete on the driveway. But I got up because I was determined. I was like, the devil is a liar. I'm going to the prayer meeting, right? Now, we obviously, you know, want to blame the devil for some things all the time. But, you know, there's always other reasons like being careless why we fall. And then I fell in Broome some years back. We went for holiday in Broome. One minute I was walking, the next minute I was on the ground, and my mother was visiting at the time from back home, and she just waved at me, and I waved back. She didn't see the fall. She just saw this person sitting on the ground from a distance, so I just waved at her. About 3 years ago, I was in the bathroom with my little one, Gugu, and I fell. Luckily, I wasn't holding her, but I fell, and I remember hearing this cry. I never knew babies could have fear in them. But that cry was a cry of fear. You could hear fear in her voice because there was nobody else there and I was not moving. I was just lying there until somebody came to help. But of all these falls, the one that has had the greatest impact is a fall I had in 2014 in Port Hedland, when I decided 15 minutes before closing time that I was going to go and grab some stuff for the kids for school lunches, as you do, last minute. I remember walking through the door, seeing a friend of mine, waving at her, and then going about my business. Next minute, I was on the floor. I was hearing the voices of the ambulance people. This time, I know what happened. They had just watered some flowers there, and the water trickled out of the pots. But I didn't see the water, obviously. So this began a long journey, a few weeks of being off work, a few weeks of not being able to do my everyday chores, responsibilities. So for 2 months, I was off work. And it was December, and we had just put up the Christmas tree, and we did not take down, or I did not take that Christmas tree down until April of the following year. Because I told myself, when I am back to my normal self or start to feel like it, that's when I'll take that tree down. So it took until April the following year. Now, some of you may have experienced falls, one or two. I doubt as many as I have. But some may never have experienced falls. You may not have experienced a physical fall, but you have experienced some unexpected event that has left you or a loved one feeling powerless, feeling scared, feeling discouraged. The question I have for you this morning is, what do you do when you find your situation does not line up with the faith you have in God? When there's a tension, instead of peace, you have chaos. Instead of joy, you have misery. Instead of hope, there's this hopelessness. And instead of faith, it's fear. When you know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but then there's your circumstances and you don't feel that strength and you don't feel like you can do all things. As the church of God, the body of Christ, how do you deal with pain, grief, loss, unexpected tragedy? How do you keep going? How do you keep praising, worshiping in those dry places? I learned a few lessons from my falls. One being that often something in us is shaken when we fall. We're destabilized. So don't be surprised if it takes you a little while to get back to normal after a fall. 16 months after my fall in the store, I was still impacted by it, still feeling sad. I was extremely overweight because I couldn't exercise. My back, my neck, my shoulders were in pain. I learned from the falls about the kindness of God towards us. That comes through the people that He sends to help us. Quite often, you don't actually know what people are like or what people do because of God until you go through something. The kindness of God. The meals that people prepare, the church that helps. I also learned to fall back into God. When things get difficult and you are down, that's an opportunity to draw nearer to God. Some of us take that opportunity. Some of us don't. We run the other way. But in my vulnerability, I was forced into a place of stillness, dependency, and devotion. Every single time I've had a mysterious illness, and I've had a few, or had a fall, it has forced me to lean more into God. Somebody was talking about leaning in. It has forced me to lean in. And I remember when I was younger and life was difficult, I remember thinking, I don't care what happens. I will crawl to my Bible if I have to. It's just something that I told myself, that whatever circumstances surround you, you must know this one thing, that He is a faithful God. And if you have nothing else to help you, you have the Word of God. You have Him on your side because He is faithful. It's in His nature. So I said, if I have to crawl, it's a sign of desperation. I also learned that there was an opportunity to stop and take a fresh breath. The question is, how do we do that? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, we know the scripture as the valley of dry bones. It's a bit long, but I need to read it for you. This is Ezekiel. He had been having these visions that God was showing him, and one of them, he says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord." Now, before I continue on this, you know, I just want to take a moment as a church to just, we know what's happening in Jerusalem at the moment. And we know that the word of God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so I heard a really, really good talk this week where somebody was saying, the church has got to make sure that we don't take what is happening and start to instill fear to the world by prophesying all sorts of things and telling the world the meaning of what is happening. But what we must do is follow what the Lord says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But not only are we praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying for the lives that have been lost. Whether it's the Israeli people of Palestine or whatever, we're praying for the people because God gives life. He gives life. And so there's been a lot of devastation. So I just want to take a moment, if we can, just to pray for that situation. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a good God. You're a faithful God. Lord, we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to say. But you, God, know all things. And we just bring the situation that's happening in the Middle East before you, Lord. We bring Jerusalem before you. We bring the lives of all the people who have been lost before you, their families, the devastation that's happening there. We don't want to pretend, Lord, that that doesn't affect us, because inevitably it does. If anything at all, at least we pray. Because that's what we can. That's what we can do. And so we thank you, Lord, for your protection of the people. We thank you for your intervention and for your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we've just heard Ezekiel being shown a vision of an army that has fallen and then miraculously comes back to life. The dry bones indicate that for a long time there had been death. It had been there for a long time, that dry bones. For a long time there was hopelessness, long time disconnection from life. But through the vision we see that there's a picture of restoration. For a lot of us, when we start experiencing pain and feeling tired, getting weary, we hang in there until we can no longer. And we want to give up with good reason. It's hard. Faith is not an easy thing, especially when things have been going on for a long time. We want to give up on God and on ourselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to remain. Remain in me as, this is John 15, 4 to 8. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. As we remain and don't quit, in the background, there is a transformation, a metamorphosis that's taking place. A metamorphosis, a change of the form or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one. As we can see, that beautiful butterfly doesn't start like that. A transformation. Similarly, in the book of Mark 4, 26 to 28, it says, this is Jesus. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Though we do not know how in the background something is being produced, stage by stage, something is happening. I probably shared this dream before, but I want to share it again for the purposes of this talk. I had a dream once where I was driving and there was this woman with three children. And then I ran over one of the children and I kept driving. But something told me to go back. So I decided to go back to pray for the child. But when I got there, the child was lifeless, dead. Instead, there was just a ball of brain. I lay my hands on the brain and I started praying in the name of Jesus, calling out at the top of my lungs. I knelt down and I said, brain, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. As I continued shouting, nothing happened. I started to get discouraged and I was about to leave. But the mother of the child, we've got to praise God for mothers, mothers who pray. The mother of the child said to me I could not leave. And she wanted me to keep praying as she wanted to see if this Jesus could really raise people from the dead. So I continued to pray, and all of a sudden, that brain slowly started to expand into an even bigger ball of brain. And so I was encouraged, and so I prayed. And then it moved from being a bigger ball of brain, it started to form into a child, and before long, it turned into this beautiful baby girl with the smoothest skin I have ever seen. I was astonished. I felt so much power in the atmosphere. I could not believe the power that came with the name of Jesus. Who knows there's power in the name of Jesus? There was power in that name, and there is power in that name. I once watched the Oprah Winfrey show, and she was talking about her journey from being, you know, living in poverty to being one of the wealthiest powerful women in the world. And she talked about how she never looked at the big things ahead of her, big mountain in front of her. All she ever did was ask herself this question: what is the next right turn? What is the next right turn? Sometimes when you're going through pain and exhaustion and hopelessness, that's the only thing you can ask yourself, because that's the only thing you have energy for. What is the next right turn? And my answer to you this morning is breathe. That is the next right turn. Breathe. You see, resuscitation requires that you breathe into a dry and lifeless situation. We are to prophesy, speak His word, and put the breath of God into every dead situation we're facing. And when nothing happens and you feel discouraged and you want to abort mission, keep praying. I had to keep praying in the name of Jesus. You see, you got to know what name you're praying on, what name you're drawing on, what name you're lifting up. Even when I wanted to give up, but there was a process, a transformation, and the resuscitation of the dead slowly happens. But it requires your word of faith as you speak, as you breathe the breath of God into that situation. And bit by bit by bit, first nothing happened, then a bigger ball of brain, then a baby girl. And it was the smoothest baby skin I'd ever seen. In my country, when we see a baby with such beautiful soft skin, we have a name for them. We say they are fresh. Fresh. Amen. When Ezekiel first prophesied, there was a process that took place before the dead bones were a living army. First, there was a noise and a rattling sound. And then the bones came together. And then the tendons and the flesh appeared on them. And then the skin covered them. But it says, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9 says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So back to our original question. What do you do with the tension between your faith and your difficult life circumstances? The misalignment between the two. How do you keep going, praising, worshiping in the dry places? How do we navigate the pain and tiredness in the body? It's all in the breath of God. It's all in us giving Him His rightful place. It's all in us proclaiming who He is. That's how we're going to come back to the land of the living from that dead space. The greatest metamorphosis for the body that is in pain is a resuscitation of dreams, of passions, and of faith. Faith that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You see, the body of Christ is that army. Sorry, Andrew, do you mind turning the aircon on? Sorry. And I'll just get the band, a few people just to play. The body of God, of Christ, is that army, that living army. You are His living army. You, the church. An army that can be mobilized, because you are the solution wherever you're stationed. You see, the thing is, when we're going through pains and we're tired and discouraged, we look inward. And slowly we stop looking outward. But God has called us to look out, not in our own strength, but in His strength. Because you are the solution, you are the answer to the problems of the world as a child of God. In every space that you're stationed. Recently, we attended, a few of us, the World Prayer Assembly at the Perth Convention Center. And we had people from all around the world gathered to pray. It was amazing. One of the things they talked about was mobilized prayer. Mobilized prayer. Army of God. They talked about the need to actually strategically, interesting enough, Bernie, you talked a little bit about this. They talked about strategically mapping out, working out where you can be stationed spiritually, working out the schools in your area that you can be praying for, picking one school that you will be praying for, the school that your kids go to, picking out a suburb that you can be praying for, picking up a country that you can be praying for. And so I wonder for us as the body, as the army, how strategic we are in our prayer. Because we have power. We have wisdom that the world does not have. It's like having $1 million in the bank and not being able or not knowing you can access it. Mobilize prayer. So let's